Hello and welcome to the Engagement Coach Podcast.
Welcome to the Engagement Coach Podcast with your host, Amrit Sander. So we often have guests on our show who are either, you know, global CEOs, they've done pioneering research work, or authors of fantastic books. But what about the other people? So we often hear about extraordinary people doing extraordinary things. What about ordinary people trying to do extraordinary things? There's been a lot of people who've set up organizations and in their own way done pioneering work, but nobody gets to hear about them. The challenges, the struggles, the imposter syndrome that they face, how they might hold themselves back, the battles they have within. And I thought today it would be really nice to hear from somebody who I met a few years ago on a journey to try and change the world. She's an amazing individual that many people wouldn't know of. But she left a lasting impression in my mind when I met her. And I thought it would be really nice and valuable to listeners to hear her story of the battles she's faced and the work she's done and how often we can hold ourselves back. So my guest today is Nazia Sarkar. I'm going to get her to share her own story with us. So Nazia, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Amrit. Nice to be here.
So Nazia, many people won't know who you are, and I don't mean that with any disrespect. Would you mind just giving us some background of who you are and what you've done?
A very spiritual answer of who I am. I'm someone who is living, breathing, likes to feel emotions, be happy, and be in the present. Professionally, I am a learning and development professional. I develop learning technologies and Industry 4.0 industries for the manufacturing world. I am someone who has a deep passion in people development and growth, especially the mindset and heart set. Personally, I'm a mother of one, wife of one, and a sister of few. And that's me in a nutshell.
So Nazia, we met, I don't know how many years ago now. 4 or 5 years, maybe longer, I don't know. And, you know, often on the podcast, we bring in amazing people. You know, we've had the global CEOs, we've had people who've done pioneering research and work, authors of books. You're not a global CEO. You're not a pioneer of amazing research. You're not an author of a book.
Yet.
I like that growth mindset, yet. You are an ordinary person trying to do extraordinary things. Now, I know when we first spoke, when we were trying to set up the podcast, that made you feel very uncomfortable, the thought of trying to do extraordinary things. And part of the whole focus here is all about, you know, organizations are set up by people trying to do amazing work. And, you know, we often talk about the way we hold ourselves back. Do you want to just tell us a little bit of your story and I guess the emotional journey you've been on in what you've been trying to do?
Sure. I think to come to your point where we spoke about the podcast is the very fact that when you listen to these kind of podcasts, you think of, oh, the great people, oh, the famous people. And then you think, me? Why would you want to talk to me? The reason I had reached out to you is to break the barrier for myself, because even though I do a lot of things in the community and do a lot of things with my work, I still feel that there is an imposter syndrome within me, which holds me back from expressing the best me. And even when your comment was ordinary people doing extraordinary things, I'm like, I'm not doing anything extraordinary. So it has been a big journey for me to accept that, yes, what I do has been great. I am an immigrant to UK. I came here in 2002. It's 18 years now. I came as a student in Scotland. And even that was a challenge to my cultural, or I can say situational, upbringing. My parents are very liberal and very supportive. But I was growing up in an environment where a girl cannot do an MBA. She can't be running a business. To prove that wrong, I was looking after my dad's restaurant since I was 17. I was running the show. And then when people said, no, you can't do an MBA, it's not for women, you know, it's time to get married. Like, no, I won't. Not only will I do an MBA for myself, I'll do it from UK. And I face a struggle over there saying that, oh, you're very young. You need to be 23 or 25 range to get into an MBA. So I broke all those molds. I was the first in the University of Arabic Tate Dundee to be offered an MBA at the age of 20. I turned 21 in uni. I was the youngest for them with the background. And I completed it when I was 22. And I still didn't give myself any credit for it. And that's been the story throughout. To go and achieve, break the glass ceiling every time and sit back and think, that's not enough. I think I need to do more. I still have to prove myself. And throughout the career, it's been a fight to prove that I'm worth it. And that there's something to recognize the potential.
And there's a couple of things going on here, because just as somebody who set up a business, as a male, right? I know how hard it is. The battle within yourself to say, am I good enough? Am what I, the vision in my mind, the thing I can taste and feel, I want to bring to life. And when people don't buy into it, you start to then think, am I deluded? Am I the one who's just, and your confidence and everything else. But then to be a woman breaking through all those barriers. That much harder when you're fighting that imposter syndrome. It's interesting when it's probably easy for somebody looking in to say, wow, haven't you achieved a lot? But the lack of credit you give yourself. Is that upbringing? Is that, what is that? Is that sort of chasing the horizon, looking for what is that? Is that the entrepreneurial spirit? What would you subscribe that to?
I think I have an entrepreneurial spirit. I have no doubt about it. I am a dreamer. It's everywhere. I don't think you can see the background, Amrit, but there is dreamer everywhere in my house. And that's how people will describe me as well. So it's not the lack of the entrepreneurial spirit or the lack of having the desire to dream and having the passion or the hard work to put behind the dreams that we want to achieve. I think it is the lack of understanding how praise and I think praise works, or how you feel good when you are, or recognition works for you. For some people, money is a motivator and recognition enough. For others, it might be awards and glory and being in the limelight. I don't think I had any of that. So for me, it was very difficult to quantify where do I call it success. And I'm a very, if you look at the Enneagram, three wing two, where I am a people pleaser. I'm an obliger. I will go out of my way to make others happy. And that's not easy to quantify. So if I had money, I could probably say, oh, look. I've got a house, I've got more than one house now. I've got a good car, a good life, very comfortable. I've been able to achieve everything I set out to, but that never gave me the sense of completion. So I had what I call misplaced priorities when it comes to recognition. So not so much of upbringing, but the internalization of what does recognition mean to me.
And one of the battles I still have with myself, I grew up as a really shy child, lacking any confidence in any of my abilities, despite then going on being a pharmacist and doing anything else. And I think that never leaves you. And it's like an old friend now. It's just something comforting about it that says that's just a part of who I am, and I accept that. But I wonder, I've had to put in place mechanisms to help me recognize achievements, because I'm often chasing things that other people aren't chasing or can't see. How are you now recognizing the great work you're doing by your own milestones and your own measures? What mechanisms you got in place?
I think for me, it was very important to go through a journey myself, Amit. And I have invested a lot in coaches and a lot in the journey to find out more me and to be accepting of myself. Because that's one of the mechanisms I definitely recommend people to do, is to have a scoring sheet of some sort, which allows you to see if you put into emotional, financial, physical, health, social, where's your quotient? And you rate yourself every day 1 to 10. How am I feeling today? Am I a 5 today? Am I a 10 today? And you work with that. The other thing I've had to do is learn to, I won't say limit my horizons, but to accept the reality of today. For a long time, I was someone who was like, if this happens then, when this happens then, I'm successful. The change I've had to do is right now, right here, look where I am and turn back and look what I have achieved, what legacy I have left behind. And I've started to find joy in things that actually make me smile, my soul smile. When people say, oh, this really impacted me, or I could do this after speaking to you, or you helped me with this. And if I can change, and I think I spoke to you about this as well, I'm not somebody who thinks that, oh, wow, look at this podcast, it's gone, it's viral. No, if I can impact one person listening to this, just one, not a many, one, it's part of my 1% for this 90 days that I have been able to do. So chunks, small chunks, one step at a time.
That's a mechanism I use all the time now. And it's funny, even when the team are in the office, they see me jumping around because I've achieved something. It might be something small, but it was something I didn't think I would get done today. And I do get a kick out of it, and I pat myself on the back, because a lot of the time I'm learning, I'm having to challenge myself to learn things I don't know.
Yeah.
And I do get a kick out of thinking, I didn't think I'd pull that off. And it might be minor.
Yes, I think I share that feeling with you, because sometimes I'm sitting here trying to figure out a system and I'm like, done it. yes, I did something. I learned something new. And my husband will turn, I'm like, oh, she's gone. You know, for him, achievement might be something really high. And for me, it's like, oh, I cracked this. Or if a code hasn't cracked, and I'm like, And the minute I can do it, it's an achievement. Small wins. Small wins matter to me.
And it's going back to your point when I said you're not an author and you said yet. And I think it's that mindset of, it can't be that hard. So you just give it a go and try things. Nazia, look, you and I both set off to create companies, right? Whether big or small, but we had a dream. There will be people out there who have a dream inside them that's been burning away, and they're sat there thinking, one day. Now, you and I have been through that. One day we went through corporate life and whatever it might be, that are our own separate backgrounds, and I don't know you too well, you know, but I'm sure that we've all had the feeling of one day. What advice would you give to somebody out there who is sat there thinking, I can't possibly, I'm not worthy, I couldn't, but inside they have this smoldering little vision to say, God, one day I wish.
I think I'll come back to the few techniques that I use, Amit, that even for me to make the transition from corporate to starting something of my own, there were breaks on my life. And I think the reason that I had chosen to break free is I realized that no amount of money could get me the happiness I wanted. And I'm not an old lady. I have an old soul, I think. And I realized very quickly that if through tragic experiences in my life, that no amount of money can bring back the person or hold on to the person you care for. No amount of money can give me the joy and happiness of being a mother or a wife or a daughter. And no matter how fast I run or how far I run, if I'm not happy with who I am or where I am, then it makes no point. Mm-hmm. That realization, coupled with practical stuff, like I did not walk out of my job, and I did literally walk out on it without a backup plan. I made sure I had savings. And that's something that people need to understand, that having a dream is one thing, but not having a plan is suicide. So I made sure that I had my savings. I knew I had gone through this whole brainstorming with myself that where I wanted to head, at least what is it that NAS wants? What do I want to do? Because I hear a lot of people saying, oh, I just want to, my dream is to stop working for the corporate. I want to not have a job. I want to work for myself. And they do it. And they're like, now what? So I never wanted to be in that situation. But the worst thing you could do for someone who has dreams is to limit themselves and not give them a chance to follow them. What's the worst that could happen if you followed your dream? It might not come true, right? You might have failures. You might have obstacles. You might not even achieve your dream. But would you want to live a life, turn around and said, I wish I did.
I came across, it was something online I came across, and it was a discussion about self-employment. And people were saying, and it was a joke, you know, it became a tongue-in-cheek comment to say, I left a 40-hour a week job to work 80 hours, you know, and the hard work that goes in, you think, why would you? But it is to follow that dream, but also to understand, I think the plan evolves. There are things that, you know, we didn't think that this is the way things would work out, and you go along with the journey in life. And I think both you and I probably, you know, whatever small organizations we might have, this is probably not how we thought they would turn out. But you then open up to flexibility and insights and evolve.
Yeah, absolutely. For there's a big story behind it, but there's a moral that, I could share the story. Like, scientists and scholars around the world were asked to come to this conference and this convention to answer the biggest question in the world. And all of them were given hours to write, and the question was why, and people wrote pages and pages and had so many ideas, and the person that they decided a winner, and the winner's response was why not. Yeah, and that stuck with me from a very young age. Why not? Why can't I have what I dream of? All the people that have been successful before me, after me, around me, they've only gotten there because they dared to. They took that leap of faith. But and something you just mentioned in your comment just now, that whatever small organizations, who's there to judge whether we have a small organization or not? It is your dream. You wanted to do something like this. You wanted to create an environment where you engage people, where you engage leaders to do the right thing by their people. And that's a philosophy that I truly believe in. And you've been able to do it. Your recognition is known now. But you and I both still feel, haven't, you know, met that mark. And the journey that I had with MentorU, creating a space for mentoring and allowing organizations to be able to provide the mentoring options within the organization. I said, yeah, you know what? Why can't people be mentored? Why can't they do this? Why can't they invest in people? That didn't take me as far as the connections that I made, the journey that it gave me, the platforms that it gave me. I have been a keynote speaker for FTSE 100 companies. I was approached to be a keynote speaker for eBay. And that wouldn't come to me. And my next one is for a well-known bank. That wouldn't come to me with me thinking, oh, you know what? I couldn't do anything with Mentor You. Let's shelf it. Let's stop. Or not recognizing the journey that it's taken me on. So it's very difficult, Amrit, when people even start to go on their path of the dream, to accept that the journey is as important as the outcome.
It really is. And I think that's one of the things you can lose sight of as well. Being an owner is you're too busy focused on trying to solve problems, trying to look ahead. You know, it's like a game of chess, you know, seven steps, you've got to think ahead. And you lose sight of where you are now sometimes. And I've done it, you know, and it's something you have to fight with yourself constantly to bring back to have the joy in the moment. And every so often, very small things or seemingly very small things to other people will happen that will just fill me with such joy, thinking, I didn't think that was going to happen. But then there is that point that you made, which is every company that's huge today started off with an idea in somebody's mind. And if they could do it, why can't we? And so there will be people out there right now who have got an idea in their heads. And you're probably thinking, or people might be thinking, it's the worst time to even think of creating a business in the middle of a pandemic. The economy's on its knees. But when has there ever been a good time? And I think one of the biggest challenges for people is one day, when this happens or when there's these milestones in place, what pushed you over the edge to say, I'm going to jump, I'm just going to do it?
I'm being very frank over here. I actually just turned around. I had walked out of a appraisal meeting, and there are different rounds. So you're sitting in a team, we're appraising your team members, and then you get appraised by the level up. So that was a day of career development. And I just sat in that meeting where I was appraising my team members and telling where their future is and how their career might look like. And I sat there around a table of people who were judging others without having worked with them. And when I walked out of that room, oh my God, they're going to do the same thing to me now. They're talking about me. They are appraising me without even knowing, the same way they did for my team. And I waited that, I still remember, I waited for all of the sessions to be over. And when my my manager came out, and I said, so what do you think? Any good news for me? Because I knew what had happened, and they had decided what they're going to go, and they would tell the people. And he knew I was asking for more, and I wanted to progress. So I said, any good news for me? And he goes, no, we'll talk about it. You know, at that moment, I looked at him, and I said, nah, believe you me, he's left. I've sat there, typed my resignation or my notice, and my director was there, and I went up to him. I went to my director, I told him, I've just given my notice. He's like, no, you can't. I'm like, I did. And he goes, but what brought that on? I said, today. Today I saw that no matter what I try, you're going to judge me on a grid, a criteria. You're not going to judge me for the person I am, the ambitions I have, or the talent I have, or the value I bring to this company. So... because no, but that's probably not the true reflection. I said, that's okay for you to say you're a director. But for me, I've seen that process. And I think it's time. Instead of being unhappy where I am, I rather step back and be responsible for my own happiness. And they do say that before you leave, you've left the job 6 months before you actually leave the job. Because you start looking, you make excuses. I don't like this. It's not working. So-and-so is not good, or this process is not good, I'm fed up, and it's a build-up. So it actually is a 6 months process before you've left an organization, you've left them in your mind. I think that was a point for me to say.
And that you know, really makes a point about how critical it is. I mean, we know it, to look after people at work, but also then for people who have got a dream, very little will eventually hold them back. It'll be something that will make them just snap and say, look, that's it. I'm now going to go and pursue that dream that's been bubbling away inside me. And I've had enough. This was the final straw, if you like.
It is like that. And again, don't get me wrong, not everybody gets to do what they like or love. They don't. Not everybody is, and I feel I'm very blessed. Not everybody has that opportunity to dare, and then to dare with a support structure around them. I created that framework for me. I am not somebody who sits on heaps of money and I can spend it to create whatever I want. No, I have worked super hard to even be able to sponsor my dream. But I created that environment around me where I surrounded myself with people who believed in me. I chose consciously to walk out of what I call toxic people, or the imposters or the imposers who make you feel that you're not good enough. They are the ones who suffer from another level of imposter syndrome, where they think they're good, but the other person is not good enough, doesn't deserve it. I have actively walked away from those surroundings and kept myself in a space where I think, you know what, this is my safe space. I can work from here. There are people who love and care for me. There are people who support me, whether be it emotionally, whether be it financially. But there are small changes that I've done. And when a person reaches that snapping point, and not only for business, it's very important to recognize that not being able to achieve a dream is not easy for everybody to handle. It can put you into a depression. It can give you stress and anxiety. It can ruin you financially, not only mentally. So it's very important for people to recognize, especially in this current COVID-19 madness that's going on. A lot of people 5 years ago said, in 5 years' time, I'm going to do so-and-so, and 2020 is just a write-off, right? Or people who started something in January thinking, yes, this is my year, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and it's been a complete write-off. For those dreamers, for those people that have shown the courage to set out on this path, I think I'm obliged to say, hold on. These are the tests, and you will go through tests. And I'm very, very emotional about this, what I'm talking about right now, because you don't even realize how this can eat away at you, how depression kicks in without knowing you're actually depressed, how you lack noticing those triggers, but you're making yourself miserable, your family around you, you're snapping for no reason. And to add this whole corona environment on top of it, please, to whoever has taken that leap of faith or whoever's in this journey with us, take a moment and realize that Rome wasn't built in a day. It's a process. It's a journey.
I think also you mentioned a very important point, you know, the signs that we receive throughout the journey. I've met some very unhappy people running their business, and unhappy to the extent where they are then making the lives of other people miserable around them. And you think, you know what, you shouldn't be in this role. It is for some people, but not for others. And you've got to be willing to go on this journey, this emotional roller coaster that will make everybody question. Everybody, I think, will go through the process of imposter syndrome, thinking, what am I? Who am I to be even forging down this path? But there's something you said right at the beginning of the podcast, something that related to knowing thyself. And it's got to be, if it's bringing the best out of you, despite the pressure and the anxiety and everything else, proceed and do it with love and compassion, because you're going to fill other people with love and compassion. But if it's filling you with hatred, anger, frustration, save yourself and do something you love. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a distinction. I think, and also the awareness, you need work to realize that you have come far, you have achieved something. We become miserable for no good reason. There's like the start of this year, and even before Corona hit, back end of last year, December 25th to early this year, I went on a spiritual journey. It's called Umrah in Islam. I went to Mecca. And I had already been through a journey where I was asking questions. And one of the things that we do over there, we go around the Kaaba Sharif. And people were, there's a lot of people pushing and shoving and trying to, like, asking for forgiveness or asking for the desires to come through. And when I sat outside in the outside ring, I thought, if this is all that it all amounts to, that over here nobody is higher, nobody is lower, everybody is in that white cloth, and everybody's running just to get that peace and happiness or forgiveness, then what are we running for in this life? What is it that is making us so miserable that we can't value what we have right now? We can't value the family around us. We can't value that there is always somebody who's worse off than us. And that is something that I really have held on to this year, that it's not just the mindset of people that needs to change, it's the heart set. Because if you don't have kindness and love towards yourself and acceptance towards yourself, you can't relay that to others. If you cannot show kindness and love to your family or your friends or the less fortunate, no matter what dream you have in life, it will amount to nothing but money or status.
So, Nazia, you know, money and status aside, sticking to this element of dreams, what dream have you got left that you think, do you know what, I would love to do that, and give us an insight of what might come next for you?
I have a dream of a very kind world, Amber. And these are the words of a complete dreamer. The way, even when I say it out loud, I feel like, oh my God, am I really saying this out to the world? But what you put in the universe, you get back. And I have embarked on a mission to find new ways or get involved in already existing charitable noble causes to create a space of kindness, to create a space for caring. And I want that as a legacy for my daughter. I want her to remember me as, and I get very emotional when I speak about her. To have her was a mission. To stay pregnant with her was a miracle. She has come out in this world fighting. And for 4 years of her life, we didn't even know she had a heart condition. She's 7, God bless her now. And till those 4 years of her life, I was running behind the wrong dream. But to be able to show her that her mother is someone who not only followed her dreams against all odds, but has left a legacy where people don't remember her just by the status she earned or the money or the houses she had or the places she traveled, but by the people that she helped, by the kindness that she brought. And if she can, and I hope and pray that she can, carry on with that charitable soul that I'm trying to embed in her heart set, my job here is done. That's my biggest dream.
That's wonderful. And it sounds like you're already an inspiration to her and to so many other people. And you are an ordinary person trying to do extraordinary things, and that's all it takes. If all of us did a little bit. So yeah, thank you. So that was my guest today, Nazia Sakhar, who I've met a few years ago. An ordinary person, or on the face of it, an ordinary person. But when you start to get to know people, you start to realize how extraordinary people really are, trying to do extraordinary things. And there are so many women out there who are battling those ceilings, breaking through those barriers to say, why can't I do this? Let me show you. And I think we often miss these moments of inspiration from ordinary people who are trying to do great things. So a huge thank you to Nazia. And I'm sure she will be successful, but success measured by her measures and milestones, as opposed to other people's. So that's all from me today. If you would like to join our podcast, please give me a shout. Otherwise, please look out for our weekly podcasts on leadership development, employee engagement, and everything else in between. I'm Amrit Sander from The Engagement Coach. I will see you soon. Take care.
The Engagement Coach Podcast.